Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Lately, we have seen on the TV an awful lot of images of wildfires, especially here in Colorado, very close to home. And it's always very scary to watch. And I know if you've watched those natural disasters, you have heard people ask the question, what would you grab if you suddenly had to evacuate your home? We have a joke in our house. Well, I have a joke. Forget the family photos. Grab the dining room table and chairs. They're really heavy, but they're one of a kind. They're art. They're beautiful. So, you know, I don't know how well that would go with 8 chairs and a big long table, but that's the plan, but really not really. If the house were really on fire, I'd grab Lance. And then I'd grab the 2 cats and the dog. One cat's suspicious because he's a pill and he's still on the list. I mean, he's still on the list of things to grab if the house burns, but he's at the bottom of the list. His name is Max, if any of you are looking for a cat. He's a love. I mean, the question, of course, gets to the heart of what is important in our lives, what we can live with and without, what is so important that we would grab it if our house were on fire, what would happen if our lives were going up in smoke. Now, if mine were going up in smoke and that table and chairs burned, I would have a few moments of sadness. I admit, I love it. But if I lost any of the heartbeats that live in my house, that would be heartbreaking. We hear people all the time on the news when their houses have burned down say, but thank God no one was hurt. No one was hurt. And I think natural disasters, when we watch them on TV or if we've been involved in them, certainly I think Margie's saying right now, thank God no one was hurt. It helps us put things in perspective. Even not knowing what the days to come will hold, we are so grateful. And we know that life is so much more important than material possessions. The reading this morning is really quite short, and it is from Paul's letter to Philippi. It is some of his beautiful words. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty, and of being in need. I have learned to be content with whatever I have. Contentment isn't a word we use very much. I don't hear it around. We don't use it to describe our lives very often. You don't hear people say, I'm quite content with my life. Now, contentment, of course, is not the same thing as happiness. The word contentment seems to embody a sense of peace, doesn't it? One reason I think that we don't use the words is that our society is based, of course, on having more. In these hard economic times, the way they judge whether we're recovering or not is whether or not we're buying things or not. So how do we understand that? The messages are clear. You need that thing over there. We're bombarded with messages that say if we just had a little bit more, we'd be a little bit happier. And if you had that new gadget, and I am the worst, if you had that new gadget, you'd feel a little more satisfied with your life. So the message seems to say all the time, you could be just a little bit happier if you just had one more thing. But I don't ever hear the messages on TV in the commercials, are you content with your life? Are you content with what you have now? In Luke, Jesus' words, one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. are important words. I mean, I believe them. I believe them first because Jesus said it, but I also believe it because I intuitively know it's true. Even if the messages all around me tell me otherwise. The problem is that we can say with confidence that we know that our lives do not depend on possessions. We can say that, can't we? The problem is we live as if they do. And I will put myself in that group. In the book that I showed you, it's called Enough. Hamilton talks about RHS. He says we all have RHS, restless heart syndrome. Now, we've all heard of RLS, where our legs twitch and you can't get comfortable. I think RHS is probably similar. We twitch and we can't get comfortable because we are discontent. It's a condition where we're never satisfied with what we have. And the problem with a condition like this is if it goes unchecked, it can really destroy us. Now, I believe that there's a certain discontent that God wants for us. There's a kind of discontent that's built into us as humans. In the Thought for Meditation, this old Scottish philosopher said, "It is right to be contented with what we have, but never with what we are." So we must never be content with injustice or with moral character or our spiritual life or our pursuit of holiness or our lack of generosity. What do we yearn for then? Do we yearn for God? I think that that is what Hamilton is trying to tell us. I'm pretty sure that's what Jesus was trying to tell us. To want to know more about God, to be in relationship with God, to love others more, to offer more grace, to grow in character, to grow in wisdom. If our houses were burning and we ran out of the house, we would take all of these possessions with us, wouldn't we? If only, though, our lives begin with the phrase, if only, if only, if only I had a different house. If only I had that new car. If only, the problem with that is when the sentence starts with if only, the end of the sentence always has at the end discontentment. If we start to take an inventory of all that we have rather than what we don't have, we, like Paul, can say, "For I have learned to be content with whatever I have." I know what it is to have little. How many of you know what it is to have little? I know what it is to have little. And I know what it is to have plenty. How many of you know what it is to have plenty? Everybody raised their hand. And I know what it is in any and all circumstances to learn the secret of being well-fed and going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. God wants for us to have a grateful heart, to be content with what we have, never with what we are. If God could talk directly to us, I think God would say, "I have given you many gifts, and yet you seem to want to exchange them for other stuff. Are you asking me for the gift receipt? Just in case I want to exchange it. I want to take it back. It's not quite exactly what I wanted, God." I had a friend for many years who took back every single present I bought her. And she carried the little credit around in her wallet, and that was what she thought the gift was. It was very hurtful because the gift was never important. It wasn't important enough to really want it. And I wonder, when we have so much from God and we're not quite content, if it doesn't feel like that. Oh, let me just carry that little credit around in my pocket till I see what I really want from you, God, and then I'll turn it in. We have to grapple with the notion of discontentment and to learn to live with the abundance that is our lives. And Hamilton in his book suggests four things that I think are all wonderful. The first is, remember, it could be worse. To say those words, he says, out loud, every time you start to reflect on what you need, it could be worse. Yeah, could be worse. Second thing is, ask yourself, how long will this make me happy? He suggested that if you want a new car, you go rent that car for 2 days to see if you really, really, really need it. Or really, really, really want it. He says if you want a gadget, borrow your friends. He bought a PS2 to play some video game. He says he's played half of one game and now it's in the closet. But he was sure at the time he really, really, really needed it. Develop a grateful heart. I mean, isn't gratitude essential to contentment? Paul, in his letter to Thessalonians, says, give thanks in all circumstances. And Hamilton suggests that if you express gratitude even before you have something, that you will learn to have a grateful heart just by teaching yourself to really say those words. And the last thing is, ask yourself, where does my soul find true satisfaction? I love what Jeff said, because this is a sacramental place. This is a place where we can come and we can grapple with discontentment and fear and anxiety. But this is also a place that reminds us of the abundance that is our lives. Our hearts are to search and to seek God. The verses that I read to you from Philippians, by the way, the most beautiful thing that Paul has written, a very short letter, I recommend it highly. Those two verses, he says that he's learned to be content with what he's had. And he also says, I have learned the secret to having plenty and to having nothing. The secret he has discovered is in the very next verse. The most beautiful verse for me in the whole Bible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul discovered the deep love of God. He knew that he was part of God's plan. He knew that there was something for him to do and that he belonged to God. He found contentment because his deepest needs, his true needs, were satisfied in his relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And I have to wonder, deep in our hearts, is that not what we want too? To be connected in deep and meaningful ways to the Creator of the universe. To say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. To accept with thanksgiving the gifts we have been given, so content that we throw away the receipt and say to God, I would never exchange this. This is my blessing from you. And then we can rise each day with joy and contentment. Amen.